Welcome to Trax Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. Well, welcome back to Trax Cultures. It's so great to have Joel and Kate Damon with us again. Thanks for being here.
We're back. We're glad to be here.
Thank you.
We're recording the week before we'll see each other at Council. And what we're kind of doing is getting this buffer of episodes recorded in advance because our summers are going to be crazy once we get closer to you guys moving to Berlin and once we get closer to going back to Berlin. So we want to try to get some episodes down so that we're not recording in the middle of the worst of those transitions. So thanks for your willingness to record several episodes that are a little more back to back.
Thanks for your foresight and knowing that we will be losing our minds come late.
Well, it's primarily thinking of myself, but I'm glad it works for you too. Well, we're going to record an episode now that's really talking about a section on acknowledging your expectations. And one of the things that we find almost without fail when teams come, especially if we sit down with a short-term team and we say, hey, so tell me what your expectations are. There are often times where teams will say, well, I don't have any expectations. And we know that's not true. We know they have them. And what we'll tell them is, okay, you don't think you have expectations, but we'll ask this again by, you know, 4 days in, 5 days in, because by that time, you'll begin to realize all of the expectations that are being frustrated that you didn't think you had. And I really love that Stephen puts this section in this book, this idea that the more specifically you acknowledge your expectations, the better you will usually do processing the cross-cultural transition, because many of your expectations will be frustrated.
I would have, before I read this chapter of this book, I would have said, I don't have any expectations. I'm just going to be open-handed about it and go in there, and I'm not going to be disappointed because I won't have any expectations. And then I read it, and I was like, oh, no, I have like deep-seated ones. I think the biggest one, I think, is that I won't be homesick because I'll have Joel and the dogs with me, and everything else is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking of, like, I felt like when I came to visit, we did our vision trip, I felt uncomfortable walking down the street because I just was out of my norm. And so I think I have to prepare for getting homesick.
Yeah, it'll hit at different times. That'll be, I would be surprised if you didn't get homesick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what Kate's hitting on is, I've felt the same. I know that there's going to be times where we are going to feel lonely in different ways, but I'm always expecting to have the comfort of our me and Kate's relationship while we're over there as like a constant. But there are days here where I feel more of a divide between us that isn't actually there. And so I, again, like expecting to be able to have the most smooth sailing, you know, marriage to rely on when it comes to my needs and feeling lonesome and not having a whole lot of friends over there, things like that. Man, there's gonna be times where Kate's at her wit's end and is overloaded with stuff and doesn't have time to, you know, pacify her man child of a, you know, husband, right? Like, or keep me, you know, whatever it is, right? Like entertain me so that I don't go crazy.
And you can't send Joel down to the basement because you're all in one level in an apartment.
No, it's an apartment. Yeah. We're in an apartment.
Golly.
I'm having a hard time like with the expectations and almost like mixing like what I'm imagining or like fantasizing what our life will be like when we get over there. Mm. And the idea of like, we've already said, we're going to make a habit of a nightly stroll, right? I wonder how long that lasts.
Yeah, like the expectation of, well, Stephen mentioned exercise in this book. Like, I didn't budget for a gym membership, not planning on it, but I do expect to work out and go on walks and all these things. And but that's usually the first thing that goes when I'm stressed out. And so that expectation of what my life will be like is, I think I'm expecting to replicate it here for what I have here to there. And that is going to be a rude awakening, but I don't know what to expect with that. And so I can't tell you how to expect that.
Right. I mean, it would be different if we knew where you guys were going to be living, because then you could kind of look at a map and you could say, oh, well, there's a place I can go walking, or there's a place I can do this.
Yes.
But it's really hard when you don't know anything about the situation. Or if you had been to language school before, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what that's going to be like. But
yes.
You don't.
And what would you say is the difference between expectation and hope? Like, I've got hopes that things are like this, but my expectation is different.
It's an interesting question. I think they're probably pretty closely related. The idea of, well, what am I expecting to happen? And what am I hoping would happen? I think probably in colloquial use, we use the words almost as synonyms. I think, I mean, we could get into maybe a different theological conversation about the difference between expectations and hope. But I think the way we're talking about
it. Yeah, there's something
here,
there.
I mean, even some of the examples we can kind of talk about later, the idea of, well, what are you expecting to take place in your linguistic development? And you could say, well, I'm expecting that I'll go to class, and I'm expecting that I'll have some homework. I'm hoping that I'll become really good at the language. And there might be a difference there.
It almost seems like expectation is tied into the process, and hope is more of a destination in a way.
I think that's probably right. I was going to say, I think the connection of worth, like we talked about last episode, maybe more tied into some of those hopes. But I think expectation for me is usually a little more pragmatic. This is what I'm expecting will happen. But I think especially the way Stephen wrote this chapter, those words are really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Kate was first talking about this, like, I was struggling I was like, wait, do you mean like this? Or do you mean like this? And she's like, well, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we went to the field, we went to a place called Missionary Training Institute. It was in Colorado, and it was great. We kind of went as a whole family, and they really did some things to help prepare us before we went to the field. And one of the things they talked about was, with this idea of expectations, was this term called a twang. And if you think of like putting a rubber band around your wrist, and when you snap it, that feeling of pain being like the twang that you experience. And they just told us, be prepared to face these twangs, these times when you will notice all of a sudden that your expectations have not been met, and that causes you to experience some level of pain. And the bigger the expectation, if you just imagine stretching that rubber band out, the bigger the expectation, the harder that twang is going to be. And so it was kind of a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. They took this person and bundled them up in like 4 or 5 winter jackets and took one of those big exercise bands and stretched it out. And then somebody pulled on it and snapped them. And they were like, well, what did you feel? Like, well, hey, not anything. And they said, well, how about we take the jackets off and try it again? And of course, the person was like, no, thank you. But what they were trying to say is there's also this temptation to try to insulate yourself from unmet expectations and try to build up like some sort of padding and say, well, I don't have those expectations, or I'm just not going to expect anything. And when you stop feeling the loss of expectations, you also just stop feeling. And so to some degree, you're going to feel those twangs, and sometimes that's going to reveal where those missed expectations were, but knowing what they are.
Yeah. Where you had started writing your own narrative on how things were going to go. Right.
Yeah. What I'd love to do now is maybe take a look at just some of these categories that Stephen puts in the book, where he talks about expectations that you have or might have. I wonder if you guys maybe could think of a couple that you have in some of these different areas. Like, What are some expectations that you have in the area of spiritual life?
Oh, I expect it to be like more fruitful, I guess, knowing that there's a group prayer 3 times a week and being surrounded by people that truly want my spiritual growth to flourish, and not just around you, but working with you. And because I've never worked with all Christians before, just some here and there. And it was always in a corporate setting where you didn't really talk about it much. And so I just feel like God's going to do great, amazing things. And my expectation is that it'll just be closer and sweeter than it is today.
That's good. Yeah, I'm in a similar way. I'm excited. I'm expecting to grow closer to find a deeper relationship with my faith. Just from the proximity of the folks we're working with, the work we'll be doing, Kate was saying, we've worked with people that are Christians and things, but also at the same time that was still at a business where the goal at the end of the day was make money. So to go to a space where that's not necessarily job number one is I'm expecting to find a new sort of thoroughness of how my faith can be lived out in my, in my day to day.
One of the things that we often see people struggle with, surprisingly, that they weren't expecting, and we probably didn't know how to warn them well enough, is how disruptive it can be to suddenly be out of your own space into a new space, trying to figure out how do my spiritual rhythms work. Like, I mean, you have your own patterns. This is when I get up. This is when I read my Bible. These are the people I read my Bible with. These are the people I see at church. This is all this part of my spiritual life. And when that's disrupted, it feels like back into that neutral zone where you're kind of like standing in the middle of that foggy street, on the other side, okay, there'll be maybe good spiritual development on the other side. But initially it can be really challenging for people. And a lot of times you discover, I really had this dream of how this was going to be for my spiritual development. And right now it's not, because I can't figure it out. I can't figure out my rhythms. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah. It's actually going to be so different for me, because I'm used to planning. Like, I plan and deliver the message and the Bible study on Wednesdays. And I used to not only do that, but then do the one for the youth group as well. And so I was always the one in charge of the message. And so I was always in, like, I was the one doing it. And so I had to be in the Word to disciple others, and I had to do this. And when I'm not going to be the one in charge, that will feel disruptive. And I didn't think about that. That'll be just very different.
And you'll figure it out. I think you might just find that, this initially it'll feel like this is not what I expected.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get that a lot.
I feel like we've been prepared to know that this is going to just throw everything up in the air. I'm expecting to have to look for God in new places. I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, we have our routines and the way that we live out, this practice here. And because everything is going to change, that will change that as well.
I know my expectation on my spiritual life is pretty high. Like, I am looking forward to, once we're in the rhythm of like, this is our life, this is how we're doing it, I'm really excited for that. And my expectation is pretty high. And I just don't think, like, I'm not expecting, I'm expecting it to just be really good. And I know it's not going to be good all the time, because that's not realistic, but I'm expecting my spiritual life in tune.
And we can, to grow is to that's a painful thing. I think we're expecting that too.
You might be surprised by what ends up being some of those growth catalysts for you. It might be seasons of dryness, or it might be seasons of feeling disconnected that will then lead to a different level of feeling connected, or find that you're praying at completely different times than you're used to. Like, dear Jesus, please help me catch this tram. Please help, help the tram be 2 minutes late this morning.
Yeah, I had a lot of those. Joel's grandparents were always such a good example, because they would praise God for everything. Like, any parking spot they found, it was praise Jesus. And it didn't matter if it was close or not, they found a parking spot. And so I was like, oh, I should be more like that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found people aren't always aware of their expectations before they get there is in the area of support received. Like, what are your expectations regarding support that you'll receive from your friendship circle, from your church, from your teammates, your new teammates like us?
That I expect to, like, my families to be exactly the same as it is now, because we chat on a app because we're in different time zones, and I don't expect that to change a lot. But friendships, that one, I thought it would be fine. But then I started remembering when Joel was in Berlin that first time without me, and it was really hard to get a hold of him. Just the time was different, and it was super frustrating. Like, when I needed to talk to him, he wasn't available, or the reception was bad or something like that. And I think I need to set my expectations to be maybe on the unknown or low side with friendships, because that time difference is going to be really hard. It's going to change things. Joel's going to miss his Thursday mornings with his friends.
Yeah, I have my sort of dudes that I have coffee with every Thursday morning. We've been, like, very regimented with our gathering, and it's been years of, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. to sit with these guys and figure out life together. And losing that's going to be, it's still, I remember Jared, the main guy that I meet with every week, he sat down at coffee one Thursday morning and he goes, "We only have about 32 of these left." And I was like, Oh, that's not, I don't want to think about that, you know?
Yeah. Like,
because I don't want to think. Jared and I, we're going to have to figure out something, because we don't really text each other a whole lot. We don't have a relationship like that where we need to be in communication with each other a lot, but we see each other for 3 hours once a week for very intense conversation. And it's fantastic. I'm already mourning, like, the loss of that. It hasn't even gotten here yet, just the fact that it's winding down.
Do you have expectations on how your church will support you?
Yes. We see the way that they support other people that are out in the world, and I know there's changes coming with the way that they do, like, different work like this, but I think my expectation is pretty set, because I've seen how it's done. Like, they'll keep us featured, and they'll keep us in the front and center of people's minds once a month. And my expectation is that that will continue. I have no reason to think that it wouldn't.
What do you think some of the expectations from your friends are on you guys?
That we will, how do I put it? We will be this, like, almost like a vicarious sort of a thing for them. Like,
I know it is
an exciting thing to like be in our early 40s with no kids and move into Europe. Right. But at the same time, I feel like I'll let my friends down if I tell them I'm not, like, having the absolute most incredible time, you know, if I, like, I just feel lonely and want to go back to Omaha or something. Right. Nobody's going to want to hear that.
I kind of feel like my friends are saying goodbye for, like, the long haul. And I don't really know what they expect. I have my one friend, my best friend. I feel like she's saying, like, a final farewell. Anytime I bring this up to talk about it, she's like, "I don't want to talk about this. This is sad." And so I know she'll come visit, but I also, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I think she's saying goodbye. And so that has been strange. And, like, the people I'm closest to aren't making future plans, because I think it's too hard to think about the unknown. And so I don't know. I think the group chat I have with two friends will continue on a different app. I think we'll still send each other stupid memes and dumb things that happen during the day. That will stay the same. But, like, yeah, I think they're saying goodbye.
What about expectations in professional life?
I fully expect to do a good job, and that's going to be hard when I don't, or when I don't understand. I do have a lot of identity in, like, doing good work, and when I'm unable to do it, or I don't understand it, or I think I'm failing, the world comes crashing down. And so that's just something that I'm working on praying on now, is that my identity is not in my work and how how well I perform. And any kind of feedback to me is terrifying. Like, I don't want to hear good or bad, because what if it's just bad? And so then I try to do so good so I can't receive anything negative. And that's going to be extremely hard when I don't know what I'm doing. I don't speak the language. I'm uncomfortable and I'm not in charge. Good luck, Mike. This is going to be fun for you. Should I go outside and scream every like 2 days, 3 days, maybe?
Build a screaming room in the office.
Yeah.
What about things that you're expecting to do, like actual jobs or tasks that you're looking forward to, or kind of have said, well, this is what I'm going to do in Berlin?
I am excited to tour and get like walk with the tours and give the tours and know all the history about everything. I am expecting to like just rock planning trips for people and being the office smart aleck.
Want to get good at like having a almost like a mental map of the area artwork as we're talking about the future of the work there. Yeah, just getting a better understanding of the artistic landscape of the city. And I'm expecting to get some opportunities to work with artists and develop ideas. And yeah, I don't know.
I'm really excited and hoping for and expecting to have just like the relationships with the residents and interns. I'm really, 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 really looking forward to that. And just like walking alongside these young people that are far away from home and just being like a safe place that points them back to their creator as well. And just, this is like a dream. This is all it's like a God-given want and desire of mine, is just to raise up this next generation to be exactly who they were created to be. And so my expectation is pretty high, but it's also like, I am so excited. Like,
yeah,
this generation is awesome. And I am so, so jazzed about it.
It's just the like going on that trip, you know, when I first went to Envision Berlin, it was a game changer and it flipped my lid just being in that city and seeing the work that's being done. And we were talking with Kim Muller, another former Berlin trip alum. Yeah. Shout out Kim Muller, biggest heart Jesus ever made. Like, she was saying just last night, like, the experience that we had, that I experienced, that a lot of people on those trips experienced, and that she had as well, she said, like, that's your job now. I was like, oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, that's incredible and terrifying and incredible and terrifying. Yeah, it was just really cool. Like, so, yeah, I think the expectation is that we can help deliver the same sort of transformative experience that we went through.
I think one of the advantages you guys have is that we really deliberately recruited you because of your skill set. And and so it's kind of pretty clear, okay, these are some of the expectations that are out there. That's not always the case for people when they show up on the field. I mean, they're coming because they want to be involved in church planting, or they want to be involved in community ministry or community development. And I think where we're going to run into some of those professional expectations will be like saying, well, yeah, I want to be involved in mentoring, and not realizing that what you have is kind of this preset way that mentoring works that might not line up with how our mentoring program runs. And so then we'll run into these, oh, that's slightly different. Or, you know, the gallery that we had in Gallery 2 downtown Augerstrasse in Berlin was very, very, very different than Project Gallery. And what we have now is we just rented new space, and that's going to be our gallery. And it's nothing right now. It's a big empty room with pillars, and it's nothing.
Are you saying that?
Yeah, I'm saying that. We just rented new space.
We
a new gallery.
Ah, that's incredible.
With some atelier space, and it's super cool, but like, it's nothing right now. And so there'll be some of this where we'll be figuring it out together. What does our gallery look like? I mean, Joel's punk gallery might bump into Alyssa's proper gallery, and we might have to figure out what that looks like, right? And so I think sometimes we don't really know what those I have this expectation that I'll be working with artists, but there's layers to it that we won't really quite figure out until we're doing it together.
I can see Joel's mind working too. Like, it's just really cool because you can see God through our like history. Like, Joel worked at a high-end gallery, White Walls, for years. And I, my mentoring, it was like, it's mostly young women, but like, it was either the girls from the neighborhood that were just going somewhere after school to the next group was the homeschooled Christian girls. And like, just the vast differences of all the people that have walked through our lives. Like, we, it's really cool now because we're like, oh God, that's what you were doing. I kind of always wondered why this and this. And it's just like, we're leading to these, like this point in our life where it's like, these gifts are going to be used, and it's really exciting. And so I can see Joel's head turning too, or head spinning too, about like, oh, this is exciting. Let's build it from the ground up. Let's do it together. And you and Alyssa can be stubborn at each other.
I could never get stubborn with Alyssa.
That's tough too.
Yeah.
It's too sweet. I've been married to her for a long time, and yeah.
Yeah. It's like getting angry at a flower.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't.
You know, I kind of introduced at the beginning this idea of often short-term teams coming and not knowing what their expectations are until they weren't being met. And we've had that experience with interns and residents as well. And I think we all have them in life, right? Mm-hmm. Like that time where I entered into a friendship with somebody and I had expectations on what this was going to mean for us. And then you find out, oh, they have very different expectations of friendship, or even marriage can be something like that. You enter into marriage really kind of expecting that this is what marriage is going to look like. Do you guys have some experience of processing through unmet expectations?
Yeah. I think being born and raised in the Midwest, like there's just like, you kind of expect the American dream. Like, you get married young, you have a bunch of kids, and you retire when you're, was it 67 and a half or something? And that didn't work out for us. We did get married young, and we are still very much best friends today, nearly 21 years later. But this is not what I expected. And I, you know, and I'm not answering your question because I had all these expectations of a house and kids and a dog and jobs and whatnot. But I never expected to be happy. And yeah, I have a house and dogs and a husband. But I am so happy. And I just didn't expect this for my life. I was supposed to be fulfilled through wealth and appearance. And God had a different
accomplishments.
Plan for it. Accomplishments. Yeah. I never knew I was really good at anything. And God like showed me talents of like administration and working with youth. And so my expectations were not met because I had in mind the movies, like Hallmark Christmas. This is what I wanted. And it didn't happen exactly that way. And there was times where I was really sad about that. But if I really looked at it, it was like my expectations weren't met because my expectations were too low. They were very, very world and culture based. So,
yeah, same, like just like, yeah, that the expectation that we're only going to like each other more every day, or that especially speaking of our, like our marriage, I think that we were told a lot of things and there were a lot of inputs into what we expected out of marriage. And it ends up being confusing or a letdown or I don't know, all sorts of stuff. But it again, like, I don't know how much of it was actually based on any like actual good advice or reality in any way. Like, am I making sense? Like Kate, you were saying, like all these expectations, so much of them were coming out of, you know, Hollywood, you know, or things that we'd seen, you know, in
like sitcoms.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like I expected to have like big blowout fights with you all the time. Or something, right? Like, weird.
Neither of us are yellers.
No. I don't know.
I worked at the bank for 13 years, and I left for it to go to a startup, and I was expecting the really cool startup vibe, that it was everyone was just kind of cool wearing jeans and we're just going to work together and get stuff done. And it was absolutely not that. It was chaos. It was absolute chaos. It was at the end of it, the reason I left is because my boss called me on a Friday and was like, we're changing your job title to project manager instead of executive admin. And she told me to Google how to do it because no one had time to teach me. And I was like, I'm out. So I told her that I was done and to be well, and I hung up the phone. And so, yeah, it was like, I had this like thought in my head of how this is going to be. And, you know, you go through an interview and you just hear all the good things about something. And when you get there, it can be very, very, very different. And I experienced that in such a big way.
I think experience with that, you know, having, you know, maybe a work environment that's different than you were expecting, or relationships that are different than you expect, kind of prepares you for bumping into when those expectations maybe aren't met exactly the way you were anticipating. I think marriage is a fun example because there's a commitment that's a part of that. And the idea of, oh, hey, it's going to be hard. This is not what I expected, but we're going to stick through it. We're going to figure this out together. And I think those can be really helpful examples. Carrying that over into a work environment at Envision Berlin might not be super healthy. It's not marriage, but you know, we're committed to you guys and you guys are committed to us, and there will be times not what I expected, but
we'll be able to say like, this isn't what I expected, but I've also expected to have my expectations kind of tossed around. And so I'm prepared.
When we came to the field, it was, a lot of no's, deliberately and lovingly, a lot of no's at the beginning, really for 2 years when we were in language school in the structure that we were working in. It was 2 years of language school. And that was really hard because I wanted to get into ministry without realizing how much I did not know. And the no's prepared me better, because in those 2 years, I learned the language and I learned the culture. And I was like, oh, okay, I can see this is where I fit. And then we got asked to do things that I had never anticipated, things like running an art gallery that have grown into these beautiful parts of our ministry. And I don't know what that will look like for you guys. I anticipate that there will be some challenging times where we'll be saying no to you at the beginning, lovingly, to say, hey, we really want you guys to learn language and you don't get a second chance to focus on it in this way. So, Kate, I know you're itching to take over all of the finances, and I'll love for you to do that. But you're just going to have to wait.
Or
some of the logistics, or some of the stuff. And there'll be times you'll be like, oh, I could do this better.
Yeah, I'll let you know lovingly, like, maybe there's a different way to do it. Joel and I try to do a really job of talking about our expectations, because we've had experiences where friends were really disappointed that their expectations weren't met, but they never told us their expectations. And so this is a really good conversation to have and, like, to continue talking about, because I don't want to be disappointed. And then you'd be like, what are you talking about? I had no idea this is what you expected. And so Joel and I try to be really good about this. So we're not meeting some unsaid expectation, I guess.
Yeah. And open communication is the best way for us to keep understanding. Oh, okay. We're discovering an expectation. And I think for me, I've often had to hold those in pretty open hands and say, I'm realizing now that I had an expectation that's not being met. And it's also a situation where in this area, my expectation will not be met. I just need an opportunity to grieve that, and we can move forward and it's going to be fine, but I just need to know how to handle that. And and I think even just in having those kind of open conversations, we just figure it out together.
Yeah. And I am, you know, maybe they'll fit in really well with this one. It's like, I end up being pretty direct with my communication. And so I'm not going to, Joel and I both, we're not, trying to be passive aggressive with our communication, especially with stuff like this. So yeah, it's better for the other person when we can communicate directly.
Well, thanks a lot for the really open conversation about this, this idea of acknowledging your expectations. The more time you spend kind of figuring out what they are in advance, the better it is down the road. And I appreciate you guys engaging. We're going to bring this recording to a close and come back with our next episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you for joining us today on Trax Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.